going to pray for. One's got an amazing word coming to them. The other two deals with a little bit of healing that's going on in their bodies. I don't know most of you. My name is Tim Phipps, okay? This is my beautiful wife, Mary. We were there when we were in the storefront. Pastor Butch and I built the walls there and everything else to watch what would happen. And it's just been an amazing, amazing event, an amazing time. But right now, it's what God is doing right now. The past has nothing to do with the present. God is the God of now, not yesterday. You and I can't do a thing about yesterday, cannot do nothing about yesterday. I can only do about what I can do today. Amen? Okay. So we're going to start here. I don't know where we're going to go or where we're going to end up. I'm sure we're not going to get through it. I need about 4 hours to get where I want to get to, but that won't happen today. But I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We ask the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to speak. We ask the Holy Spirit to bring understanding, Lord. And Father, to bring remembrance to those things that we know, Lord. For Father, he is the great teacher, Father. And Lord, we thank you for putting the Holy Spirit into our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get over to 2 Timothy where we can start in chapter 4. In verse 7, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Now, what's ironic is Paul makes this statement while he is chained to a Roman guard. He's chained with him. It's Paul's last letter. It's Paul's last statement he's going to make. But Paul is standing there chained to them. He says, listen, I have fought the good fight. How many believe we fought the good fight? Okay, well, let's look at the word fought and find out. Okay? This word fought in its Hebrew content, its Hebrew meaning, means to wrestle in a contest, straining every nerve toward reaching the goal. Have we come to that point? That you're in a conflict, you're in a battle, and you're straining with every nerve that's in your body. You know what the same exact thing happened? Jesus, when he was praying, when he was going to have to make a decision, when he was going to have to, whether he's going to obey the Father or whether he's not, where he asked, can this cup pass by me? Do I have to do this thing, Lord? But Father, not my will, but your will be done. The Bible says that it was so powerful that he sweat blood. Every nerve ending was being stretched to the max, to the point of that conflict and that battle that was raging on the inside of him. You see, when Paul says that he's fought the good fight of faith, Paul understands what Jesus went through. Paul understands the position Jesus was in. Jesus could have said no. He could have said, no, Father, I can't do it. It's too much. But Jesus wasn't looking at himself personally. He was looking at us. He was looking at every generation that would ever be here, that would ever come. So when the Bible says that I fought the good fight, you have to ask yourself, I have to ask myself, have I fought the good fight? Have I came to a place where I could not do anything else, but every fiber and every nerve of my body was being poured out? You see, we got to win. We have to win. There's this ideal that sometimes that, well, maybe I'll just go through the motions here. People, we got to get off the sidelines. We got to get back in the fight. It's a fight. That which has been promised on the inside, it's a fight to keep it. I had someone ask me a couple days ago, said, it was in the youth group I was in. It says, well, it says the Bible says we're going in known as we're known. Am I going in known as my name? I said, no. I'm not going in known as Tim Phipps. That's a name my earthly father gave me. I'm going in by the name that's on the inside. They said, what is that? I said, you'll have to search the scriptures to find out what God says about you and says who you are. That's the name you're going in with. That's the name you're going to be known by. Jesus is Yeshua, Lord. He's Lord. When we're singing a song that is he worthy, Paul or John writes and tells us that there was myriads around that, worshiping him, telling them that he is worthy. John saw you and John saw me there. If I finish the course, responsibility lies with me. Responsibility lies with you. It's a fight, and we have to fight the good fight of faith. This word that deals with love, because he goes on to say, in the future there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Well, this word love is not the word that we think about. It's not the word that, well, I love sister so-and-so, and I love brother so-and-so, and I love my wife. That has no bearing on this word whatsoever in the Hebrew word, in the Hebrew content. This word love simply means that God gave man what he needed, not what he wanted. That's the point. When he gave Christ, when he gave Yeshua to us, he was not giving what we wanted. People didn't want that. God was giving us what we needed. So for you and I, guess what? And I love his appearing means that we have a common interest with Christ. You and I have a common interest in this word love. What's that common interest? You and I need to give to people what they need, not what they want. You be a part of giving to people what they need, not what they want. You know, they don't want to hear the word of God. They want you to tickle their ears and tell them how good they are and how they got and how precious they are. But they don't want to do anything about it. They don't want to live a life that's consistent with that. They don't want to pour out. They don't want to give. Listen, when it comes time to give to the kingdom of God, it's the greatest thing that we can do in worship is present an offering to the Lord. That's what it's all about. Why do you think that God would choose money to be the only God he would put up against himself and said, choose one? Which one do you love? If we think this life is about money, if we think this life, my existence is, I'm saving up a nest egg for a rainy day, I'm telling you right now, the devil's going to take it away from you. But if you'll give it to the kingdom of God, God will make sure, and he'll always take care of every need that I have. The problem with us in America, sometimes we want more. The Bible says that, hey, if you have clothing on your back and a shelter on your head and you got food in your belly, you're already blessed. God said he's already met the need. Give us what we need, not what we want. What I want is I want to be on a cruise line ship. What I want is I want to be cruising around the Caribbean. What I want is I want to be there and have life leisure and easy, and I don't have to do anything. And you know, because guess what? I've said, Jesus, come into my life, so therefore I'm good. It's not what Paul said. Paul said you got to fight the good fight now. Paul says you got to stay there. Paul says you got to win. Paul says we got to finish the course. And it's not a race. It ain't about who's getting there first. It's about getting there, period. Huh? Why? Because my name. I've got to protect the name that God gave me and make sure it doesn't get blotted out. Huh? Who wants to blot out my name? Satan. Who wants to blot out my name? Evil. How many know this battle is all about evil? This battle is not about anything else. This battle is not about flesh and blood. You know what the devil does? He does a marvelous job of duping us and gets us to be looking at people and looking at flesh and looking at situations and going, and we spend all of our time spreading around that and trying to fix that. And God says, I don't have anything to do with any of that. What's God protecting? He's protecting the very breath that he breathed into us. He's protecting that life that's on the inside of us. He says, that breath I breathed into you had everything you was ever going to need. If you'll stand and trust in me, if you'll fight the good fight of faith and not let evil overtake, that'll be there. That's where we're at. This thing's about evil. This thing's about good and evil. It's a fight for the person on the inside. It's not about the flesh. It's not about the outside man. It's not about any of this tent that we all wear. And one day we're all going to lie with our fathers. The Bible tells us that. You know what? I don't have a problem with that. If I have finished the course and I have done as my Father has asked me to do, and I have walked the Scriptures that I know how to walk them and walk them in truth, then I have no problem going to lay with my fathers. But I am not going to lay with my fathers if I have not accomplished what God has asked me to accomplish and what he breathed the breath of life in me to feel and to walk in. I'm not going to allow the devil to win. I'm not going to allow evil to pursue. I'm going to stand on what the Word of God says, because my promise is his Word. That's the promise. And I'm way off from where we're going. Ain't going to happen today, right? God says, you go ahead and spend your hours and get ready, my son, then I'll do what I want to do. Amen? Well, we're going to take, I'm going to do what God wants to do right now. You know what? When it comes to services, sometimes I have to stop in the middle of service. I have to do what God's asked me to do. Amen? I need you to come up front. You. Yes. Come right here. Listen. God showed me you standing over a cascade of water. You're standing at the top, your hands are straight up. And God told me to let you know that you're beginning a journey today. You're taking a plunge today that you've never been in before. And God says, I have spoken to you at least twice about it before. This is a plunge that God is going to absolutely open the door for you. Okay? Now I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pile the Holy Ghost. I need somebody to stand behind her.
Thank you, God.
Come here. Hallelujah. Father, in the mighty name of Yeshua, Lord, we thank you for our sister today. I thank you, Father God, for the vision that you've given me. I thank you what you have told her, Lord. And Father, today she begins a journey like never before, Father God. Fill her, Father, through and through. A plunge into your destination, Father God. The Lord, of the things that you have spoken to her, that Father, today the plunge begins. Today, Father God, the doors open. Today she has the power and the anointing to walk through it. Today she decides, Father God. Today, as Jesus, Father Yeshua, would make his decision to do what you wanted him to do and to pay the price. Today, Father, she decides to pay that price in Jesus' name, Lord. Father God, we ask, Lord God, for all to be open to her, Lord God. Father God, all that you have spoken to her today, as she stands at the breast of that waterfall, Lord God, to make the plunge into your spirit, Lord God. Father, anoint her. Fill her, Lord God. Father, speak wisdom to her and allow the Scriptures, Father, to come alive, Lord God. In mighty name of Jesus Christ, we anoint her today to walk in all that you've given her to walk in, Lord. Father, I thank you, and I give you the glory for her in Jesus' mighty name. Fill her, Lord. All you've got. Prepare her. Prepare her. Satan, we bind you in Jesus' name. Evil, you're bound in Jesus' name from this plunge. You're bound in Jesus' name. You have no effect. The power and the anointing of God shall flow in her life, Lord. Father, we give you all the glory. All the glory. In Jesus' name, Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Walk in that. Walk in that. You're standing on the edge. I saw you. Hands spread apart. and the plunge like never before. That which God has spoken to you today, not tomorrow, today, it's yours. It's yours. Only you can allow the enemy to steal it from me. Only you can allow the evil. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. Tell him it's yours. Tell him it's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. You get to decide to walk in that. In Jesus' mighty name. This word fought. Fought means to engage in conflict. Strain every nerve. You and I cannot no longer stand on the sideline. It's time to button up the bootstraps and get in the program. Huh? How long are we going to stay and do nothing and just expect that it's all going to come our way? Satan never stops, never sleeps. Evil never quits fighting. The conflict continues every day in our life. Every day in our life. And it's up to you and I. It's up to you and I. The Holy Spirit has been empowered on the inside of us to cause us to win victoriously. But you and I have to walk it out. You and I have to live by the Word of God. We have to live by the Scriptures. I'll tell you what happened to me years ago. It was my grandmother. And I had just gotten saved. And forgive me, I am not picking on anybody, okay? Huh? You guys got to love me, right? Yeah, got to love me. I was at her house one day, it was after services. And I said, Grandma, what did the preacher preach about today? She goes, oh, honey, I don't know. I don't need to take my Bible. He'll tell me what I need to know. I said, Grandma, it is not your preacher's responsibility. It is your responsibility, because that preacher may not exactly told what you need to know. It is your responsibility to get in the Word of God. It is your responsibility to become a disciple. It is your responsibility to walk in faith. It is your responsibility to understand. That's what we're designed to do. And I know, boy, just get the shoes up and dust it off. Either we're disciples or we're not. And disciples handle the Word accurately. They know the Word. The problem in America is Satan knows more about the Word than we do. So therefore, he can dupe us with ease. He can cause a conflict inside your family that'll take all of your attention on what's going on in the family. Guess what? God doesn't have anything to do with that. That's flesh. God doesn't have anything to do with the flesh. God only has to do with the breath of life that he put on the inside of where these. This is a tent that dwells. That's where the presence of God dwells, inside of this tent. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to look at another verse here. If you get there for me, just wait on me. Ephesians 6, verse 10. To clarify that this is not about flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are the household of faith. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make it a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Paul is he's teaching us that men have their own ideals, their own theories, their own of what they believe is right. But you and I, huh? I'm not in Ephesians. Oh, I'm in Galatians. Excuse me. I was going there next. Let's get to Ephesians. I told you if you guys got there for me, just start. Ephesians 6:10. There we go. It's the next verse. But anyhow, let's go back to this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God. How many puts on the full armor every day? Do you know a good Jewish man and a good Jewish woman, the first thing when they open their eyes is they thank God for that day? Before they ever set their feet on the ground. Lord, I thank you for another day. What does Paul say about another day? Paul says, if I'm to live here another day, I'm going to do what? It's going to be for Christ, not for me. Is that the way we feel? Is that the way that our day begins? I'm preaching to Tim. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to Tim. Because this thing's all about him. It's all about you, Lord. It has nothing to do with us. It's all about you. And that breath that God put on the inside of us, that which I'm to protect, God filled me with his glory. He filled me with opportunity. He filled me with blessing. And it's my responsibility to take care of it and to protect it and not to allow things to get into it. That's why, you know, here of late, I don't get involved in family things. There might be things going on in my family, and some of them will say, you know, so-and-so's doing this or doing that. I don't care. I don't have time to be involved in that because it isn't going to do anything for me. No more than I don't get it when churches argue over what color the carpet is or the draperies or anything else. I don't really give a hoot. I'm to protect that which is on the inside, and that is the breath of life that you and I get to breathe every day. That came from God the Father. See, we don't ever stop just to think about that. I'm just a lump of clay, a lump of ground, and God put his essence in me. We're talking about the creator of heaven and earth. How many know anything about the book of Enoch? We have spent about a year in this book of Enoch. And we know that Enoch went to heaven. Enoch writes to his, would it be Noah? That would be his grandfather. And he writes about an angel while he was touring heaven that took him to a door on the north side, wherever that might be. I couldn't tell you. And he opened up the door, and there was nothing there but blackness. And Enoch asked the angel, said, what is this? The angel said, this is where eternity stops. Yeah, chew on that for about a month. If you've never read the book of Enoch, I would suggest you get a book of Enoch. This book is unbelievable. And the understanding of what is going on and what went on during and before the flood. There's things in there that will, you just can't believe, that Enoch writes about, that Enoch tells about. But you know what was, to me, was intriguing? Is the fact that I didn't know it. You know what upsets me? Is when I find out something I should know. That upsets me. Because if I'm a child of God, I should know that. I should have took every opportunity to find out. I should have known without a shadow of a doubt what the Word of God said about it. That's what I should know. Because it's expected out of me. Job, bless that poor man to no end. Minding his own business. He is minding his own business. He's not even involved. But if you know the book of Enoch, you will know also that there is a kingdom that's just like this one running parallel. That is called, this is God's kingdom that's above ours. They're running parallel with one another. There's many mornings I'll go out selling a porch and I ask God, I say, God, what's going on in your other kingdom right now? What are they doing up here? You'll find out in the book of Enoch, You'll find out in the book of The Unseen Realm. I don't know if any of you have read The Unseen Realm or not. You'll find out in these books about that there is an entire life going on right above ours. I mean, it's running parallel with us. They're just in a faster speed of time than what we are. But there was a meeting taking place between the leaders. There's leaderships and angels, and there's all that goes on and what they're supposed to do. And guess what? They're having this little meeting up here, and here comes Satan. Shows up. Well, where you been? I was down on the earth just running around, looking around, see what I could do. And poor Job ain't doing a thing wrong. Job's down there. He's offering up prayers and stuff for his family, doing what he would normally do. And the devil just says to God, well, yeah, no wonder he loves you. You got a big hedge around him. I can't get to him. And God says, fine. You go ahead and touch everything he has. You can't have his life. I want you to know something. Your life belongs to God. Everything else you have, like it or lump it, belongs to this world. So it's up to you and I to decide what we do with it. Aren't you glad God didn't ask for 90% and you keep 10? Huh? I mean, he could have said, I'll take 90, you get 10. Does God need our money? No. What's God need? Needs our obedience. You see, that's obedience to do what God asks you to do. But that's what opens the door to the extraordinary. If you don't participate in the things that God's doing, don't expect the doors of the extraordinary to open up. Because they won't do it. It's not the way it works. God doesn't work on, oh, I feel bad for them people. God doesn't work on feelings. God works on faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is what? Well, how do we get around that? Got to have faith, right? It's impossible the other way. No man will see God without faith. No man is going to his presence. You and I are not going into the kingdom. You and I are not going to live with him. You and I are not going to walk with him without faith. Well, I got faith. Oh, really? Faith is an action. Faith is a verb. Faith means I'm a part of it. Faith means I'm part of the team. I'm part of the local body. I'm part of what God's doing. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm with my brother. I'm standing with my sister. Whatever endeavors we're going to do, I'm part of it. Faith is an action that shows that our participation is about the things of the kingdom. That's not in my notes either. Matter of fact, I can't get back to my notes. And I spent 2 days on these. And we're going down some other trail that I have not even planned to go down. Listen, I hate to teach about money. You know what? No, the pastors hate to teach about money in their churches. They hate to even bring it up because they're afraid somebody's going to get mad. Well, you know what? I'm not the pastor of the church, so therefore I can bring it up. If they get mad at me, pastor can straighten it all out, right? It's the only thing that God said. Choose me or choose mammon. Choose money. Which one's your God? Which one do you trust? There's coming a day. There's coming a time. It was on the news this morning, if he's paying attention, that the world is running out of the capability to produce enough food to feed the people that's on the earth. Huh? Why? Because a famine is coming. A time is coming where you and I are not going to be able to go just down to the local store and get whatever we want. You know why? Because the Bible says that you and I will have to bow down if we want to be a part of that world to be able to buy and sell and exist here. Can you stand before them with your children who are hungry and say, and they're going to ask you, you're either part of I, you're going to bow down to Caesar, you're going to bow down to money, or you're going to stand on the principle of God. That's where we're at. It's coming, and it's coming bad. It's coming hard, and it's on a rush. We're coming to the climax of all things. We're here. It's this generation. By the time we get through the rest of this generation and the generation behind us, I'm telling you, with all that's inside of me, I believe we're at the end of this thing. But if you'll just take a mark, you can buy and sell. You can get you some Cheerios. Huh? You can get you a loaf of bread. You can get you a little something to drink. Oh, the babies are hungry. Oh, what are we going to do? Well, you know, it'd be a good thing to take care of my kids. I'll go ahead and just take the mark for them to get them some food. Wake up! This is where we're at. Got to make a decision now. Paul said, fight. Paul said, fight. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Finish the course. It's not about the flesh. It's about the spirit. And you and I have those opportunities. You and I are going to go to that battle. There's some that's alive right now that's going to see that happen. And we're going to make that kind of decision. And I'm telling you right now, if we haven't made it in our heart right now, we're not going to make it then. If you haven't decided to stand now, you're not going to stand then. It's not going to come down at the last moment and say, yeah, my faith's going to rise up. My faith is already rising up. My faith is already telling me, prepare, get ready, speak the oracles of God to me. Pray in the Holy Ghost and allow my faith to be uplifted. Allow my faith to be strengthened. Because we're headed for a battle like never before. Finally, be strong. Finally, at the end. Finally, we're headed to the finally. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. How many know the devil just sets up schemes? He's great at smoke screens. He's great at making it look like it's all going to fall apart. He's great when you don't have a job and they're saying they're going to take your house or they're going to take your car. He's setting up a scheme of fear to make us do something we shouldn't do or put us into a trap that we can't get out of. And it's all a smoke screen. And God said, stand! And watch the glory of God unfold in our lives. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. How many know Peter was let off to be hung upside down on a cross, saying bye to his children and his wife? And it's recorded the last thing he did was turn back and told his wife and his children, trust in God. Trust in the Lord. Two things happen. Peter dies on a cross, and a family watches. Yeah. You see, you and I can't pick out anything in our life that's that drastic. You and I haven't been anything as near that. And yet we say we are children of God. We will stand, Lord, no matter what. I have to evaluate my life to see if I'll stand. I have to evaluate my life to see if that's true. I have to evaluate my life to see where I am in Christ. Because I have a life to live and a course to finish. I have the Apostle Paul telling me that I have to fight the good fight of faith. For our struggles, and here's the key, our struggles is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against people. And I'm telling you, it goes on in our churches every day. Every day, somebody's mad at somebody. For who knows what reason, but they're mad about something. So-and-so did so-and-so and something to me. I don't care. I ain't got time for that petty stuff. None of us should have time for that petty stuff. What we should do is tell them to repent. That's our job. Oh, I don't want to tell somebody to repent. Why not? Why would we not tell someone to repent? That is the ministry. That is our calling. If it's wrong, tell them it's wrong. Just make sure. Nothing going on in your life. Make sure you've judged your life. Make sure you have a friend. You have someone in the kingdom who judges my life. See, I have a guy in my life who doesn't care to tell me when I'm wrong. I don't care to tell him when he's wrong either, but anyhow. You need it. You better have one or two who are not afraid, who are not trying to puff you up because you can be somebody, or not trying to make you feel good, who will absolutely say that's wrong. You need somebody. If you haven't got them, find one. You're going to need them down the stretch, because every one of us can miss the mark. Every one of us. Sometimes I could get mad at my friend. But you know what? He knows things about me that nobody else knows. I know things about him that nobody else knows. I trust him. Find somebody you trust. I don't even know why I'm on this. Find somebody you trust. They become your counterpart. They pray for you. They stand for you. Ask them. I tell him all the time, judge my life. Judge what's going on. If it's wrong, tell me. And if I think he's wrong, I'll just tell him I think he's wrong. But normally he's right, because he sees me better than I see me. Because I see me based on somebody else. Come on now. I'm better than this brother, right? Yeah. See, I'm better than you, brother. I look at your life and I go, okay, I'm better. Yeah, yours? Yeah. I look at your life and say, I'm better. Well, I'm not doing what so-and-so's doing, so I'm better. Well, where does that come in at? No, that's unheard of. I don't get to judge based on somebody else. I get judged based on what God asked me to do. He may not ask me to do what he's asked you to do. Worst problem is, we always look over and go, I'd rather do what he's doing. You don't have a right to be over doing what he's doing. Well, that ain't fair. Why? I can tell you right now, ain't fair ain't in the kingdom. Ain't fair ain't in the kingdom. Got a great society out here says it ain't fair. God says, I don't care. Ain't fair is not in the kingdom. What I ask you to do is in the kingdom, no matter what it is. Well, I want to be the pastor. Well, that's too bad. I want to be a deacon. I want to be an elder. I want to be this. I want to be that. I don't like what God asked me to do. I want to do something else. You're not obedient. And God will first find out if you're faithful over small things. Then he'll make you a ruler over large things, right? Amen. Amen. Let's see if we can get this thing finished up, because I've got two or three other things I have to do. Because I have to obey the Lord. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. Okay? You got to realize that's that unseen realm. That's in that book. If you've ever Book of Enoch and the Unseen Realm, you'll know this. And I don't have time to go through all of these, okay? But in verse 12 alone, you could spend a month just in a Bible study. In verse 12, never have to leave verse 12. Just in those words in there. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. I mean, that's a mouthful. That's a forever study. How many know the angels? There's four angels, and they hold back the four winds of the world. How many know that? How many know that that's all that's being waited on, for those winds to be released upon the earth? Huh? How many know that's coming? How many know that we're embarking on that right now? Huh? Yeah, come on, sister, just give it to us. Yeah. I mean, this is real stuff. This is not make me feel good type stuff. This is real stuff. It's happening in the kingdom of God right now. And we're living there. How many know there was no capital of Israel? There was no Israel in 1947 or 48. We're the generation that saw Israel come back. If you was reading scriptures before that, you had to have said the scriptures are wrong. There's no Israel. But the prophet said in one day God will restore it. And God did in one day. The scriptures are true. History has proven them out now. History that we all live by. We are here. We are now. I'm going to skip something. I'm going to go down to 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verses 8. I wanted to see verse 8. And Second Timothy 4, back to that verse 4. He's talking about preaching the word. He says, and then we'll turn away their ears from the truth and we'll turn aside to myths. Okay? But let's go to verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're there. We're that time right now. You want to know why the churches are not filled? Because they will not take sound doctrine. They will not take the truth. They will not take it, because why? They're putting a little, they're dusting off this polish off of my shoes. I don't like that church. I don't want to go there. They make me feel bad. I want you to tell me how good I am. I want you to tell me I'm doing everything right. I want you to tell me everything is just good in my life. I don't want you to tell me anything I'm doing wrong. Right? So that's where we're at. Sound doctrine. They will not be able to handle sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Why do you think in churches today, other denominations that are allowing homosexuality pastors and teachers to teach their flocks? I read, and it's true, a denomination who's decided to teach the children how to operate in that realm. Homosexuality. They say that that's a coming, that that's part of what society is going to be. Yeah. It's an abomination to the Lord. But guess why they're doing it? That generation is very, very wealthy. That generation is very techie people. That generation is a generation who have great, powerful jobs. They raise a lot of money, and the churches need their money. So they have chosen money over God. So why is our churches sitting half full? Because that's the faithful that's left. That's the one who don't want to hear their ears tickled. They want to hear the truth. And want to be stand on the word of God. No matter what's coming. No matter what the wiles and the schemes of the devil come up. That's the difference. It's not about anything else. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And will turn away their ears from the truth. I want you to know this is what's going on. They're turning their ears away from the truth. I don't like it there because they don't accommodate everybody. Well, I'm just telling you right now, and I don't know, it's probably on video, and Pastor Butch will have to straighten me out, I guess. In our church, and I'm sure in this one, we're not going to allow two women and two men to sit together and hold hands and love each other while service is going on in our churches. Huh? I know that that's not what the world calls loving one another. That's called abomination to God. Not going to happen in our houses. Going to stand on the word of God. You want to get saved? You want your life changed? That's what we're here for. That's what the truth of the word says. Otherwise, you'll have to find someplace else to have your ears tickled, because it's not going to happen here. Oh, that's not politically correct, is it? Too bad. Too bad. Too bad. Not going to happen. Not in these houses. Not in the houses who teach the word of God, who teach truth, who stand on what God says. No matter what. No matter what. Oh, brother, they might take your 501c3 away from you. Take it. The government wants it, take it. I don't need to turn it as a tax deduction anyhow. Huh? That's where we're at. Things have changed from where they were years ago. And will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you and I, in this building, in the building that we attend, in our churches, be sober in all things. Amen. Huh? Yes. Endure hardship. Oh, you mean there's hardship coming? You betcha. Haven't seen it yet. It's coming. Hardship is coming. I notice you guys have a gentleman that's sitting back there, brother, who watches that door. I'm telling you right now. In our church, we have them watching the door, and there is gentlemen in our churches who pack. They have concealed weapons in their pockets. Huh? Why? Because there is evil people in this country. How many know in less than 14 hours, I believe 22 people or 24 people were killed and 29 of them in the hospitals? Two places happened within 14 hours. Evil people. How do we know it's evil? They have no regard for innocent life. That's when you know it's evil. No regard whatsoever. And will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist. What's that word? What's the work of an evangelist? Is that preaching? Preaching, teaching, right? You know what? Oh, well, I'm not the pastor, so I don't do that. Oh, I'm not a teacher in the church. I don't do that. No, everybody was called to be an evangelist. And do what? Preach the word of God and shed light on darkness. That's what we're to do. Put light on darkness. Because people don't know. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already, Paul says, being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Why? Because it's impossible to please God without faith, right? In the future, when? In the future is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing, who have a communion with him, who believe in the things that he believes in, who stands for the things that he stands for. That's are the loved ones. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 and verse 20. Oh, let me see here. Verse 21. When everybody gets there, say amen. His master said to him, "Well done, good, faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." You know what? That's what it's all about. It was Stephen, while he's being stoned, for what? Preaching the gospel. That's what Stephen was doing, preaching the gospel. Drug him outside of a city and stoned him to death. But the Bible tells us, and the writer tells us, that his eyes were never on the people. His eyes looked into the kingdom, and he saw Jesus stand at the right hand of the Father to welcome him in as a good and faithful servant. What was his parting words? The last thing that he said on the face of this earth, Stephen said, "God, do not hold this against them." Can I do that? That's tough. Huh? That's tough. He said, "God, do not hold that sin against them." You know why? Because he knew that the Bible says that you and I have the power to forgive sins on the earth. If you'll forgive them here, God says, "I'll forgive them there." That's a love. That's an understanding that surpasses most things that we know. That we could say, "God, forgive their sins." Only one other person said that. Who was that? Yeshua Jesus, right? Yeshua Jesus. He said, Forgive them, for they know not what they do. I encourage all of us. We have not arrived at anything yet. We still have to accomplish. We still have to walk out this life. We still have to finish this course. We still have to win this race. Not by first place, second place, or third place, but by not allowing the evil one to cancel us out and to cause my name to be blotted out of the kingdom of God. That's what this is all about. So as we go through this day, just remember that the very essence on the inside, the very breath that God breathed into us, the day that we were conceived, the day that we were formed as a baby, God breathed into my nostrils. He breathed his essence, his life, his spirit, and all that I was to accomplish was deposited on the inside of me and on the inside of you. And I get to spend my life accomplishing that goal, that I can finish the course and hear this words, enter in, servant, a job well done. Amen. Amen. I want to, there's a couple things I have to pray for, so I have to touch them in the spirit, and I have to ask to make sure. During the praise and worship, somebody has a problem with a left shoulder. It's a left shoulder only, right here, and a right eye. So anybody experiencing something in a left shoulder or your right eye, I need to pray for you. And if not, I could miss it sometimes, or sometimes people just don't want to come up. Well, then that would be the one we want to pray for. Come and turn this way. And the left shoulder, we're still looking for somebody. You got a left shoulder? I thought you was coming up to catch.
I can do that too.
You know, this is something that that usually happens with me during praise and worships. God will show me someone, show me an area or words that came to this sister here. What word tell you? What the Lord tell you? Going to make a plunge, ain't you?
Make a plunge.
And that's not going to happen overnight, by the way. Not going to happen overnight. It's already started.
Okay. Yes.
It's already started. It's just going to be revealed more and more. And I can't wait to hear it. Because it's coming. Whatever it is. And I don't know. Only you know. That's when you know it's God. Is when you know it and I don't. I only know what God shows me or what God tells me. Amen? Right eye.
That's me.
That's you. Well, first of all, I want you to get your hands in the place of surrender. You know what that means? It means, God, I surrender all things to you. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we lay hands on our sister's right eye. Am I on the right eye? Let me get over here. No, I'm on your left eye, right? Why don't you tell me? You know?
I know, but that's not the eye.
You just figured you was going to get both of them, right? you know, preachers sometimes get it wrong. You have to straighten them out and say, listen, that's the wrong eye. I was in a service once where a lame man was called out, and they prayed for the wrong leg. And the preacher, and it gets done, he goes, that was the wrong leg. He goes, well, why'd you let me pray for that one then? Why don't you tell me? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we lay hands on our sister's eye right now, Father. Lord, we don't know what the situation is, but you do. And Father God, we ask for your correctiveness, Lord God. We ask for your healing power. For your hand, Father God, is not too short to outstretch from heaven itself and touch, Father. And Lord God, we believe that a point of contact, Lord God, we agree with her faith. We join our faith with her faith that today, Father God, begin to restore the sight in this eye, Lord God. And Father, that we thank you for it, and we give you the glory for it today, and we believe it to be true, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Left shoulder. Yeah, there you go. Point out the right one to me. Father God, I thank you for my brother in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Father, I join my faith with his faith, Lord. And we believe that you are the God that healeth thee, Father. And Lord, whatever is happening in this left shoulder right now, Lord God, we ask it to be restored. We ask it to be fixed, Father God. We ask it to be healed, Lord God, back to its normal use, that which you had designed it to do, Father God. We give you glory for it today, Father. And we believe that which we ask for shall come to pass, Lord. As you restore his shoulder, Father God, and bring, Father God, no pain, that the pain will subside, Father God. The bones, the muscles, the ligaments, all restored to the normality that you had placed in him. Father, we give you all the glory for his shoulder today and his healing. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and amen and amen.
This high?
Yes.
I only see half of it. You called him Mozart.
Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Father God, for restoring sight to this eye, Father God. Lord, you give sight to the eye that is lame, Father God. You give to the can't see, Father God. You give sight, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord. And Father, we thank you for restoring his eye to full capacity today, Father God. Now, Lord God, we lay hands and we believe, Father God, as we join our faith together, and Father God, for the restoration of his sight, Father. Thank you, Father, for our brother, Lord. We give you glory for him today, and we thank you for his healing, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, those are the three things that the Lord showed me during praise and worship. If there's anybody in here who needs prayer, and I didn't call it out, doesn't mean it's any more or less. It just means God is always in the healing business, period. So if there's anything that you'd like for me to pray, then please come, and I'll be more than happy to pray for you before we end this service today. Yes. Okay. Amen. Let's pray for him. Father, we pray for Sister Winnie today, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. And we, Father God, understand the heart issues that she's going through, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you are restoring her heart, Lord. We thank you that you have her in the right place, Father God, that she's surrounded with people of faith, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. And that, Father God, healing power is surging through her body right now, Lord God. Right now, Father, and we pray and we thank you that her faith is not failing her, Lord God. But, Father God, is causing her to rise up and be stronger than ever before, Lord. And Father, we just give you the glory for Winnie today, Father God, and her healing power, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Saramako selenimi hisheronda da boko da tes. Iarapa catararam rosa nederto. Iareme isier nidacasa tarabaco hashat rondolabishindos. I narabacar la pehishen de ropo condes. Yin darabaca heredamocondorote. La remin de los sapacorde mi ites. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for our sister. We thank you, Father God, that you are the God who loves us, Lord. Father, your goodness is shining upon our lives, Father God. Lord, your Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Father, thank you for the faith that is on the inside of our sister, Father God. Lord God, we pray right now that her faith shall not fail her, Lord God. And Father, any ailment against her body shall be driven out, Lord God. Father, she shall be renewed of eagles with strength, Father God. And Lord God, a flourish of power into her life, Father God. And Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for healing her today. Healing her today, Father God. Strengthening her today, Lord God. Fill her. Feel her. Oh, feel her, Lord God, with your power, your anointing, Lord God. Oh, like never before, Father God. Oh, like never before, Father God. Even in the days of her youth, Father God, that she shall flourish, oh Lord God. You're not done with her, Lord God. You have a work for her yet, Lord. She's going to accomplish all that you've asked, Lord. She's going to accomplish all in these days, Father God. In these days that she is here, Lord. Feel her, Lord God. Anoint her. Establish it. Let it be done in her life, Father. Done in her life this day, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, Lord. Amen. 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 Do we have any oil?
Shut up.
Well, glory. Hallelujah. Whew. Anybody else need prayer before we call it a day? Anybody else? Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You've been back there hooping and hollering the whole time. About time. About time.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Anybody? How you feeling, brother? Woo-hoo, Jesus. Anybody else? Oh, yeah. Pour it on her, Lord. Pour it on her. Pour it on her, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Pour it on her, 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 Lord. Woo, Jesus. Pour it on her, Lord. Pour it on her, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Anybody else? Anybody else? Brother, I guess you're to end us. Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If all minds and hearts are clear, let's look to the Lord and be dismissed. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the words that were spoken into our spirits, and Father, that would set the captive free. And Father, we just thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit to touch lives and the spirits of those of your people. Father, that your name would be glorified in all things. And Father, we give you praise and honor and glory, and we just ask your blessings upon those as they go to their homes of abode. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.